Translation by Srila Prabhupada and purport. O King, no one can know the plan of the Lord, Sri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. Purport. The bewilderment of Maharaj Yudhisthira over his past sinful acts and the resultant sufferings, etc., is completely negated by the great authority Bhishma, one of the 12 authorized persons. Bhishma wanted to impress upon Maharaj Yudhisthira that since time immemorial, no one, including such demigods as Shiva and Brahma, could ascertain the real plan of the Lord. So what can we understand about it? It is useless also to inquire about it. Even the exhaustive philosophical inquiries of sages cannot ascertain the plan of the Lord. The best policy is simply to abide by the orders of the Lord without argument. The sufferings of the Pandavas were never due to their past deeds. The Lord had to execute the plan of establishing the kingdom of virtue. And therefore, his own devotees suffered temporarily in order to establish the conquest of virtue. Bhishma Dev was certainly satisfied by seeing the triumph of virtue, and he was glad to see King Yudhisthira on the throne, although he himself fought against him. Even a great fighter like Bhishma could not win the battle of Kurukshetra, because the Lord wanted to show that vice cannot conquer virtue, regardless of who tries to execute it. Bhishma Dev was a great devotee of the Lord, but he chose to fight against the Pandavas by the will of the Lord, because the Lord wanted to show that a fighter like Bhishma cannot win on the wrong side. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshurame Tamina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born blinded by the darkness of ignorance, but my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and I therefore offer my humble obeisances unto him. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Psai Bhutale Shimate Shivaram Swaminata Namane. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Psai Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminata Namane. Namaste Sarasvati Devi. Gaurvani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prashkacha Deshatarne. Vakam Karoti Bachalam Pangam Langaite Girim Yatripata Mahamvande Shri Gurun Dinataranam. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam. When will Rupa Goswami, who has fulfilled a mission, who has established, when will Rupa Goswami, who has established the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter at his lotus feet? Vande Shri Krishna Chaitanya Nityananda Sahodito Godadai Pushpanvanto Chitra Shando Tamonado. Offer my humble obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who have risen simultaneously over the horizon of Godadesh, just like the sun and the moon, to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and to wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Nahyasya karichitra jan pumam veda viditsitam yad vijigyasya yukta mukhyanti kaviopihi. O King, no one can know the plan of the Lord, Sri Krishna. Even though great philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. Thank you, everybody, for attending and giving me this honor and privilege to give class. This verse is talking a lot about how pure devotees, they play roles for Krishna. They don't mind what the role is, whether it's the role of a villain. They'll simply serve as Krishna's instrument in whatever role Krishna wants them to play in. So I have a request for everybody this morning that even though the class may become boring, if you could just maintain the role of still being enthusiastic and interested in hearing, then that would help me. It says here that no one knows the plan of the Lord. So how are we to understand that? I was thinking to just ask the floor, does anybody here have an inkling of what Krishna's plan is? Would anyone like to make a suggestion or offer a philosophical speculation what it could be? Because it's saying here nobody knows it. Yes? I thought of that one. Yes? Anything else? I thought of that. Yes, Prabhu? She was quoting Bhagavad Gita. I'm trying to think, is it 7:4, isn't it? 7th chapter, 4th verse. Prichanai Sadhanam, that to reestablish, to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants and to reestablish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. There's a state of intention right there. So, Prabhu? Okay,
so, whatever the Lord does is for the ultimate good for all living entities. So that's a talk about the plan of the Lord.
Whatever, so you're saying
whatever
that
his plan is for the ultimate good
right.
for all living entities.
Yeah, yeah. Being the benefactor and well-wisher of all the living entities. So that's he wants to bring that about, right? So is this not true? Nobody knows the plan of the Lord. Seems like there's a fallacy here. There's another offering somewhere? Was it Adam?
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
Basically, when we look in the Shastras, all the avatars or avataris are always predicted. So one way or another, we know what's the goal, but we not always know how he's going to achieve that goal. Just
okay.
Like, let's say Buddha, he established the Ahimsa. Kalki, you know, will kill the people. And different avatars do different roles, but we don't know exactly how he's going to do it.
Okay, that's good. So we have a general understanding, but the specifics are beyond us. Okay, this is yes.
Lord reciprocates through the devotees.
But the plan? What's the plan?
His plan is according to the devotees. I mean. He reciprocates through the devotees.
The devotees are the executors of the plan. Okay, so that's part of his plan is that he's going to engage devotees to implement the plan.
Yeah, but we come to know after a long time what was his plan. Because...
With hindsight. We'll,
yeah, yeah.
With hindsight. Does Krishna know his own plan? Who said that? Tarun, go ahead.
He's changing his plan constantly, adjusting. I mean, there is ultimately maybe he knows what he wants to achieve, but in terms of plan, you know, even when you see the Shastra, Shastra is one thing and how things happen is different, but goal is achieved.
Okay, so you're saying Krishna's always got this spontaneity. It's never sort of written in stone.
Constantly adjusting according to surrender. You could surrender directly, this would be planned. But if you don't, then there's
right.
a tweaking. And
yeah.
Never know.
I think one thing to keep in mind is that there's an external level and an internal level. Krishna's plan, there's an external plan and there's an internal plan. So it's saying here how this devotee, I think it's a good umbrella term that Krishna wants to deliver the pious, wants to see, as it says here, the victory of virtue, deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreant, you know, light over dark, good over bad. Krishna wants to establish Satchitananda, eternality, knowledge and bliss over the material qualities of just things being temporary, ignorant and unhappy. So this is the nature of Krishna. But that's the general, that's like a universal and absolute level of the plan. And there's a Sanskrit term called paramartika. So that's what that is. That's this, it is a kind of an unchanging and absolute level of reality. But then on this other level called Vyavaharika, which is to do with this world, and this is where the plan, as Tarun was saying, it is time and circumstance, and as the times and circumstances change, then the plan also automatically will adjust. So that's important to understand. And there's different levels of dharma, of duty. And so there are lower levels and there are higher levels. And I'll get into that a little bit more shortly. It says that even though philosophers inquire exhaustively, they are bewildered. So Krishna cannot be objectified and studied, and then you come to a conclusion and you've understood who Krishna is. Philosophers can inquire as long as they like. It's because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one can perform their experiments and then come to an understanding of or a conclusion of who Krishna is or the greatness of Krishna. Because Krishna is the greatest, there's nobody equal to or greater than him. So that has to be understood. But Krishna can reveal his plan. But when I said, does Krishna even know his own plan? Krishna, when we are in this supreme absolute level, Krishna volunteers to place himself in a state of bewilderment where he doesn't even know the plot himself, how things are going to turn out, because that will maximize his relishing, Hare Krishna, that will maximize his relishing of the pastime and of his enjoyment. It'll make things more unlimited. So that's in keeping with his being the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the case of Bhishma, his whole life is a life of just teaching lessons. This is what I meant earlier when I said that pure devotees will play roles, even if it seems like they've got to play a role which is not the hero. They'll happily play it for the higher purpose of teaching lessons, for facilitating Krishna's pastimes. So in the case of Bhishma, I see Bhishma entering into the plan and exiting it as well. Sometimes he's the good guy, sometimes he's the bad guy. He's an instrument in Krishna's hands. And it happens quite a few times. He starts off, as I see it, as the bad guy. As far as what we know of Bhishma, he starts off as the bad guy. Because in his previous life, he was, as it might have been understood from other classes, I think other devotees have been giving the background of Bhishma, he was a Vasu in the heavenly planets, one of the eight Vasus. He starts off as a bad guy because he's the ringleader in stealing Vasishtha Muni's Kamadhenu cow for no good reason. I mean, the reason is because his wife knows somebody who's self-conscious because she's aging, and she's found out that the milk from the Kamadhenu cow has this kind of magical effect of rejuvenating the appearance of a person so that they can become yovana, youthful. So for the vanity of this woman's friend, Bhishma in his previous life steals this cow and incurs the wrath of Vasishtha Muni, who then curses him and his seven brothers, who all, join together to steal this cow. So that's adharmic, to steal somebody's cow for that reason. There's no justification there. So he's starting off bad. Then when he takes birth, and Ganga is about to drown him in the river, and Shantanu, he stops her, and then she explains everything to him. So she then takes him back to the celestial realm to train him to become an ideal king. And so then he sort of re-enters into a dharmic sort of situation where he's conducting himself according to the Vedic paradigm. It's an amazing passage of period of his life. He's this young boy being trained by the greatest trainers in the universe. He's being trained by Brihaspati, who's the spiritual master of the demigods. So he's got the best of the best training him. And he's got ironically, even Vasishtha Muni is enlisted to train him to become an ideal king. And every time Ganga brings one of these great gurus to him to train him, she's saying, this is for you to become an ideal king when you return to the earth. And Bhishma's imbibing this. And it's in the Mahabharata, it's described how joyfully he is in that period of his life. And Ganga, being such a amazing personality, she's even able to enlist Parashuram to teach him the martial arts. So that's why he became undefeatable when he came back down to earth, because Parashuram, none other than an incarnation of Krishna, trained him in the fighting arts. So when she brings him back down to earth and reunites him with Shantanu, instantly there's this beautiful rapport between Bhishma and Shantanu. And they're more than just friends. There's a real bond between them. They'll do anything for each other. And literally they'll do anything for each other because they love each other so much. And so again, it's like this very... There's a term called halcyon, which means this kind of ideal period of harmony. Because Bhishma's life becomes anything but an ideal harmony as things transpire. But for this period, it was. For the first 20 years of his life, it was just, he was just in that Vedic paradigm, completely dharmic, and having such aspirations and such dreams of coming down and being a righteous, ideal king. So that's some of the background. That's when he was in it. Then he falls out again. He crosses the line and he falls out again. And how does that come about? It comes about when Shantanu falls in love with Satyavati. And we can see how Krishna's pastimes are. This is all part of Krishna's plan and pastimes with hindsight. Who said that about hindsight? It's a brilliant point. Because Shantanu could have, there's a kind of a thing called a Gandhava wedding. You just kidnap the woman and, he's a king. He's entitled to do things like that. But he doesn't. He asks her father for her hand in marriage. And her father is a really kind of mean-minded, crotchety, miserly old guy. And so he doesn't want to just give his daughter, in marriage. And it would have been such an honor, the king of the whole empire. He doesn't want to do that. He wants that his grandchild be the king. Otherwise, no deal. And Shantanu can't do that because Bhishma is the Yuvaraj. This is very much a side point, but Yuva comes from Yovanam, youthful, Raj, king. He's the youthful future king. So Bhishma had been installed as that. So how could Shantanu betray his son, who he loves so much? So he said, no, I'm just going to give up this idea of marrying this woman. But he could only give her up externally. Internally, he was just obsessing and thinking about her all the time. Because Bhishma and Shantanu loved each other, when two people love each other, you're very sensitive to the finest little detail of what's going on in their consciousness. So Bhishma could understand that his father is unbalanced and something's wrong. And so he did his research and he discovered what's happening. So he goes to the fisherman to try and plead with him that he allow his daughter to marry his father. But the fisherman says no. He insists again, my grandchildren, one of them have to become the king. Otherwise, I'm not allowing my daughter to marry the king. So Bhishma says, I relinquish all claims to the throne. I abandon my status as Yuvaraj. I'm giving it all up. That's still not enough for the old guy. He says, that's not enough because you might have children and then your children might compete with my grandchildren. So it's still not sufficient. And that's when Bhishma makes his terrible vow that I will vow to take up celibacy perpetually. And then, of course, the demigods start showering flowers because the demigods all know who Bhishma is. They're overseeing things. And he was one of their darlings, and so they're showering the flowers and saying, whoa, what a vow. And what was wrong there? What kind of, I felt, was the error of Bhishma at this point was that it was very spontaneous. He didn't really consult anybody. This is the same problem that Bharat had when he got attached to the deer. There was no association of devotees to consult with, to discuss with. There was no referencing to scripture, guru, sadhu, and shastra. It's just this kind of independent, off-the-cuff, a very emotional decision. And Bhima, being who he is, once he's made that decision, he's a kshatriya. He's going to stay by that decision. And so then he'd fallen out, but he came back in again when he started to oversee the kingdom. Because even though he's not the king, he was overseeing things, and he was, paritranai sadhanam vinasha chaduskritam. He was protecting virtue, and he was keeping the rascals and the thieves and the wrongdoers at bay. He was keeping a very strong hand on the kingdom, keeping everything in order, doing very, very well. And so then he's back in again with the plan, with this Vyavaharika plan, Vyavaharika level of the plan. And then he falls out again. And this is the point where he goes to kidnap three princesses to marry the son of Shantanu, Vichitraviri. Vichitraviri and Satyavati have two children, Chitrangada and Vichitraviri. And of course, the line needs to continue. So Chitrangada died very untimely, and there was only Vichitraviri. And it's interesting that Bhishma goes to kidnap them. Normally, the king, because Vichitraviri is the king at this point, it's the king who goes to kidnap the woman. It's the king who leads the army. They're not just sending their representative. That's not a real Vedic Kshatriya. So there's an anomaly there. Why is he sending Bhishma to kidnap these women to become his wives? But Bhishma just kind of, he's very insensitive at this point, because Amba she was in love with Salya, and yet Bhishma just kidnapped her and wasn't thinking beyond, a very superficial level. I'm just going to get these three ladies to marry Vichitraviri. Part of what I see is going on with Bhishma is that when he made that vow, it was described that when he made that vow, from one moment to the next, he became an old man. And the reason is because he had to relinquish. If you recall in my description that those halcyon days when he was joyful and blissful and he had his dreams and he had his aspirations, and when in that one moment when he had to actually separate himself from that, all that internal identity that he was cultivating of becoming the ideal king, of becoming this very, you know, fulfilling his dreams. So anybody, when they have to give up their dreams and when they have to give up their deepest desires of fulfillment to fulfill who they are, of their identity, when that happens, you become old from one moment to the next. And that's what happened to Bhishma. And so when it's described that he stopped really seeing his own purpose in life. He lost his own purpose. And he was only acting on behalf of other people's purpose. So when he's kidnapped those girls, he's just doing this because it's like, it's my job to do it. And so when you're doing something just because it's your job, you don't do it very well. You know, if you're doing something because, you know, this occupation is who I am and it's what I love to do, you're going to do it perfectly. You're going to do it better than anybody can do it. But if you're going to do is, this is the whole principle of Bhagavad Gita where it says, Shreya Svadharma Viguna Paradharma Svanustita, that verse. You do your own prescribed duty, even if you do it imperfectly, than somebody else's duty, and you do that perfectly. Because to do somebody else's duty is dangerous. You'll always end up, at some point, you're going to mess it up. And you're going to get entangled. And you won't be able to find your way back to who you really are. That's the danger. The greatest fear and the greatest danger is to lose connection with who you are, with your identity. So that's why Krishna consciousness is so wonderful, because that's what brings you to your true identity, your Svarup. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. So that's what I thought happened with Bhishma, that he starts falling out, but there's a process where he starts to gravitate back to being in Krishna's plan, both externally and internally, on both levels. You know, when he didn't defend Draupadi in the court of the Kurus, that's Bhishma falling out of the plan, because that's not what Krishna would want. He wouldn't want someone like Bhishma, who's capable of influencing the situation, just being a bystander and just watching a dharma prevail. He wouldn't want that. And Krishna doesn't want anybody fighting against him unless it's part of his plan. Someone who independently, you know, you get modern atheists, they're fighting Krishna. That's not what Krishna wants. But when Bhima fought Krishna, that is what Krishna wants. Because that's their rasa. That's their way of expressing love to each other, is through this fighting. So that's something else. When I was looking at this vow of Bhishma's, even Parashuram tried to get him to break that vow, to give that vow up, unsuccessfully. because Amba was very, she was in a very pathetic condition. And there's an irony here, because in the same way that this father of Satyavati more or less ruined Bhishma's life on one level, just ruined his whole life and turned him old on the turn of a moment. In the same way that he ruined Bhishma's life, Bhishma ruined Amba's life through no fault of her own. He ruined her womanhood, her dreams, and all of that as well. That's another example when your dreams, when your inner longings and your unique individuality is denied, what the drastic consequences are. So she's just pathetically going around the country looking for somebody to help her get revenge on Bhishma. And that's become her purpose in life. And she comes across Parashuram, and she explains to him the situation. Parashuram he thinks this is totally unjust and wrong. And Bhishma's my disciple. I'm going to summon him, and I'm going to tell him to marry you and redress this injustice. So he does that. But even to his guru, Bhishma says to him, you can ask me to cut my head off. I'll do that. But if you ask me to break my vow, the answer's no. To his own guru. And so they fight. They fought for 23 days. And then there's a kind of an intervention after 23 days. And Parashuram says to Amba, I can't make him give up his vow. You'll have to sort of think of something else. And there's a scene in the Mahabharata where Satyavati, his mother, his stepmother, not his real mother, because Ganga's his real mother, but Satyavati commands him to marry Amba because it's a kind of a womanly empathy. She sees what Amba's going through and what's happened to her. Commands Bhishma, and Bhishma makes this kind of grand speech and says, he says that, okay, let the moon, if the moon was to lose its coolness, if the earth was to lose its fragrance, and the sun was to lose its heat, that can all happen. But I am not going to give up my vow. Nothing is going to make me give it up. Nothing. He said the world can, even the world can just, can be destroyed and ended. It doesn't make any difference. I don't care. I'm not giving it up. So that's like, you know, he's not, when he's speaking like that, he's not thinking, well, what if Krishna asked me? When he says nothing's going to make you give it up, he says, my vow is my truth. It's my truth. I find this, it's a kind of a Mayavadi principle. This is my truth. You've got your truth. I mean, how many truths are there? So this is Bhishma stepping out again of the whole Krishna's plan. When somebody says, you've got your way, I've got my way, you've got your truth, I've got my truth, it seems like this is a very kind of laissez-faire, freedom-loving stance, you know. I'm allowing you your freedom, you allow me my freedom. So it's very deceptive, because this position of, you know, you've got your truth and I've got my truth, it means that I'm not going to allow for the possibility that there is a truth. I'm not gonna enter into I'm not going to enter into the responsibility of finding out what is the truth. I'm not allowing that to happen. In the same way that someone who has a like a fascist mentality, they'll say, this is the truth. I'm not allowing for the possibility of there being any alternative. I don't want to discuss it. So when people say, you've got your truth, I've got my truth, the same thing is going on. I don't want to discuss it, whether there is a truth. So it's an imposition. It's a very arrogant imposition. Again, that's where Bhishma steps out at that point. His spiritual master can't influence him, his mother can't influence him, and at this point, Krishna can't influence him. But he steps back in because he learns his lessons. He starts to understand that the spirit of the law is more important than the letter of the law. He starts to understand that, his rigid dogmatic position was not true dharma. Because when a lower dharma meets a higher dharma, and the person who's holding on to the lower dharma gives up the higher dharma just to hold on to his lower dharma, then his lower dharma becomes a dharma. That's what Bhishma had to learn. And it took a long time for him to learn that. But eventually he learned it. So it is true that ultimately no one knows the plan of the Lord. Because no one's on Krishna's level. So it's not possible. It's getting close to time now, so without adding anything more, I just leave the floor open if there's any comments or questions.